This episode of The Instance is brought to you by our friends at Doghouse Systems at doghousesystems.com. This is the machine I use to stream all the games I play, and really, to play them. It's fantastic, and you'll love the deals you can get and the power you can get with the Doghouse System. Go to doghousesystems.com right now, and don't forget to use the code FROGPANTS. There's always some deal to be had with that code. That's FROGPANTS over at doghousesystems.com.
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance episode 499.
No, wow. It's a biggie next week.
What are we doing with it? I don't even know. I don't know what to do.
We're going to play some World of Warcraft. Yay! Live on air. You can watch us play the game.
Maybe we could do a questions special episode. That would be a proper way to celebrate 500.
We could do quests in World of Warcraft. Wow.
There's plenty to play right now. There's lots to do in that game, so maybe
quest competition. Like, what world quests would you design if they were in the world of The Instance?
Oh, hey, that's not bad.
You have to bring 15 Terpster hides to.
Wow, that's bleak, man. That's rough. I'm here. I would have something like you have to try and make Scott remember the name of a single zone in Azeroth.
Perfect.
And everyone would be like, screw it. It's not worth it. Too much effort.
Blade Stream Shadows. There you go. I did it. I got
one.
Good job. You can do it.
Yeah.
There you go. Have a million artifact power. Boom. Next.
Oh my gosh. We're going to talk about artifact power here in a minute because I got to tell you, 7.3 is like Christmas with artifact power. It's like the most amazing thing ever, which we'll talk about here in a second.
Yeah. And also, we have to have a spoiler section.
Do we?
I don't know if you've done the quest up to that point, Scott.
Played all of 90 minutes worth of World of Warcraft.
I am about an hour into that 90 minutes. But it's okay. All right.
Too bad. We're going to have to talk about it. And you're going to have to.
What I love, though, is were this Patrick in that scenario, he would be so angry right now. No, you can't. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, I don't even care.
Scott, screw it.
No, I don't care. Spoilers. I'm not a spoiler guy. It doesn't bother me to be spoiled. I'm actually really enjoying that stuff.
That being said, Scott, I didn't even have this spoiled for me, and I love spoilers, and holy crap, was it even better for not have been spoiled.
Well, I keep telling you guys, don't watch trailers.
I don't.
No. I mean, I hear you, but I mean, this was pretty exceptional, but that's fine. I will make the spoiling of itself. Yeah. We'll do it right at the end, so people who, again, don't want to be spoiled can tune out.
Yeah.
But I will make the spoiler itself as entertaining as the original event.
Right.
So you know that you're not missing out on anything.
Yeah, Tyrion Fordling, the new Lich King.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're waiting until the end of the show.
No, it's good. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
We're going to talk about Tyrion Fordling.
The slightly slower cousin of Tyrion Fordring.
Yeah. But who's alive and who's dead? I'm not sure. I'm pretty much all about the Fordling right now.
Yeah, the Fordling.
He knows what he's doing.
The little Ford. All right. Anyway, we'll get to all that in a second. But I guess we could... Yeah, we'll do this. All right. So before the 7-3 discussion, can we talk just briefly about Terpster's time in Cologne, Germany for the annual Gamescom?
Right. I'll get ahead of this. Mm. I didn't know there were cameras there. I thought I was in a private area that was private. Mm-hmm. And then, next thing I know, it's all over the internet. Yeah. And just holy crap. Yeah. I feel as repulsed as allegedly people have been watching.
You should sue or go after him.
I think I will.
Yeah. You're not a very litigious person, but I think this might.
No, exactly. Yeah. I can't even spell the word. So that just shows how non-litigious I am.
Yeah. Litigious and Fordling are my two favorite words.
Those are my two favorite heroes.
Litigious. Litigious. For the light, he says. He always says.
Objection.
Here's my big takeaway from the Gamescom event. There are a couple things, and Patrick and I talked about this stuff pretty lengthily last time we spoke. But aside from, you know, all the announcements, and there wasn't a ton. I mean, honestly, the Blizzard stuff was all sort of known quantities, and it was extremely well presented. No, I thought
there were some definite surprises. Definitely, I think like the Hearthstone cinematic, animated short, May wasn't known to be May. They said that they were going to do an animated short, but people didn't know. So I think there were surprises, but in terms of game information and new game information, that was definitely, I guess, a challenge. Equally, from my perspective as like an external contractor, if I was to give myself such a grandiose title as like, you know, as a temp rep, it's like I'm working down at like Target selling World of Warcraft boxes for the week. You know, it just happened to be like, you know, a bigger Target.
Sure.
But the idea was, it's, you know, our job was to, you know, we got to get people excited about these things that are genuinely exciting. And Blizzard employees have spent, you know, over a year in some cases working on these things. You know, these are big things, but it's not the next WoW expansion. You know, it's still, you know, there's still news like, oh yeah, you want to go to Argus? Well, you're going there next week.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool news and it's unknown stuff, but it's that managing the hype whilst equally getting people hyped.
Yeah, and it's a challenging thing. It's like Patrick said. Patrick gave me a new appreciation for this, because back when you, Patrick, worked for Blizzard, you know what this sort of show takes to pull off. Like,
oh my God,
yeah.
So much. It's so much work. Yeah. And I mean, I say that every time, and that has nothing to do with the excitement of the thing or what people expect or should expect or shouldn't expect. But
yeah,
for me, it always has a little bit of a special quality, because especially every time we talk about BlizzCon or Gamescom or one of those shows, I know how much of this is done internally by Blizzard, by Blizzard employees who drop everything and start working on this. I mean, whose job it is very often, but everyone is involved, so it affects everyone. And I know a lot of companies outsource that kind of thing, but Blizzard, as with most things, they do it themselves.
So, yeah, it's pretty it's intense and impressive. Yeah. So here's my two. So here are the big two takeaways I had from the event. One, it was a good, solid event. Oh, and for the record, if anybody was wondering who that May animation was for, because some people thought there wasn't enough action, it was too much story, it was long, whatever. I think I know who it was made for. She's going to be mad at me for saying this, but my daughter bawled her eyes out. She cried and cried and cried.
I really got upset when the robot ran out of battery, and it was only until it got charged up again that I was in a position where I could move on with my life. Yeah. There was definitely that period of time where I was thinking, is this robot unable to charge its battery now?
Yeah.
Is that the end of this robot's life?
He only had one.
He only had that one battery. If only they'd made him with a rechargeable battery that they'd shown at the beginning, him charging up.
Yeah.
I think overall, you said, who was this for? I think the entire event was for people who are already, you know, engaged in Blizzard games at the moment, mostly. And it's not something that is either going to bring people who aren't already fans of Blizzard or people who have kind of stopped playing for a while. Well, if you're still, you know, always looking at WoW from the corner of your eye, then yes, this is going to be interesting.
I agree, but the Hearthstone thing did feel like it was very specifically targeting a different audience.
Oh, yeah.
And that, course, that I course. Thought was both great and kind of awesome.
I don't even know now. I think, like, I feel like that spoke to me a lot more than I thought it would, you know, when I kind of heard about it on paper and then I saw it. And I loved it. And I don't know if that's me as the father of a young, you know, a daughter.
Yeah.
Thinking like, oh, amazing. There's actually like cool feminine characters that are going to be part and embraced in gaming culture and stories.
Sure.
And how much was that just like how warm and welcoming and beautiful that tavern is. And all those characters, you know, some of them only have a couple of lines of sung dialogue. And already, you know, you can tell who they are and what they're about. I think that Hearthstone animated short for me was the star of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And again, some people like the May one. May, I thought, was fantastic.
I love the Junkrat one.
Yeah. Yeah, I think exactly. I think Junkertown was probably, in my opinion, better than the May one. In that May, to me, felt a little bit like the Star Wars prequels, in that they'd had so much success, no one had thought to say no. There was a lot of stuff in there that didn't need to be there. So when it comes to just like the duration, it was nearly 10 minutes long. And it's an animated short. It's not that short. it could have been half as long and told the same story.
Yeah.
And equally, you
I
could
like
have done.
I like it took its time, though.
Well, I don't. But the thing is, even then, I feel like with all the other animated shorts from Overwatch, we came away knowing more about the world of Overwatch. I don't feel like I did from May. I feel like we already knew this backstory. Yeah. We already knew a lot of these things. And even the you know, Snowball, I kind of felt like Snowball should have been fried, you know, completing a circuit or something like that and being completely destroyed. Or when it gets charged up at the end, it shouldn't be showing 100% after being charged on a small solar panel that's on her back. You know, it should have, you know, apparently that generates enough power to power a base for a day and a half.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like that could have been like a 1%. Oh, I'm a bit sleepy, but oh, I'm glad we're walking somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like there was lots of things that, you know, if I'm going to be really nitpicky, and I'm a Blizzard fanboy, so that's what I do. I kind of felt like it needed someone to go in and say, George Lucas, no, you shouldn't do that, because that's what the original films had, and they were so much better because of it. And then George Lucas did the prequels with everyone just bowing before the reverent guy who made Star Wars, and they weren't as good because it's meant to be.
Comparing this to the prequels is you know,
it's harsh.
To the main
exactly.
Short.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, and like, you know, I got a chance to kind of, you know, meet Ben Dye and stuff, who you know, directed and co-wrote this short. And it's fantastic. It really is. But it's just like, I would have rather had two Overwatch things of 5 minutes long, one of them being that Maze story. I'm fairly confident I could edit that story down to 5 minutes and it still retain everything that's brilliant about it.
Yeah. You're probably right. It's a little heavy, a little heavy-handed. However, the funniest thing I heard after it was my son said, so right after she leaves, is that when she sprays me like a troll and then shoots me in the head with a spike? I said, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
That's when she does it.
That's what happens. Yep. That's how she does it. She waits till you're safe in your bed and then she just
We had someone write into Overwatchers and they were saying, this short is the only redeeming quality of the horror that is made. I think I kind of agree. She is a demon in the game.
She's really rough. But anyway, that was a cool thing. Here's the other thing I came away from. Terpster is a slim down, handsome, bearded man. Ooh, like
Scott,
you on a
that
camera.
Offends
Jeez.
Me as a broadcaster that firstly you feel that you have the right to comment on my body, and equally that you're not listening to the words coming out of my mouth, which were very carefully chosen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Blizzard is all about the vernacular.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot say one thing for fear of offending someone by saying the other thing.
Right.
So yeah.
Yeah. I was very impressed. You're looking great. And my Kim goes, oh my, look at Terpster. I said, yeah, right. Look at him.
I'm pretty sure Kim said, oh my, about me before. So I'm glad that I'm back at that level.
It was so good. Anyway, congratulations on that. It went great. And you were definitely a big part of that that whole thing.
We're
all biased here, but I think even if I didn't know who you were, you would have been a highlight.
Everyone's second favorite host after Zoe. Yeah, I'm used to it. Don't worry. It's fine.
She was great as always.
No, it's a huge honor, obviously. For me, it's like the European BlizzCon. And so to kind of get that chance to get on stage, well, you know, on a live stream stage, sure, albeit, you know, get a chance to be part of that show is fantastic. You know, it's always been a dream of mine to work with Blizzard.
Mm.
And this is about as close as I think Blizzard will ever let me get.
Mm.
So fantastic. And it's a smart decision by Blizzard. You know, I'm a very, very dangerous person to work any closer with.
Yeah.
They were lovely. They, again, as Patrick says, it takes a huge number of people. I posted that on my Instagram. They do like, a team photo at the end of the event.
Yeah, it was enormous.
It's hundreds of people. Yeah. Sort of thing. It's huge, huge thing. And it's just every one of those people is in charge of something and doing something and making it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
It is extremely impressive from the inside. It is very much like a swan on a lake, in that what you see is this beautiful, graceful, elegant, gliding thing that's just beautiful to watch. And what you don't see under the water is just paddling like crazy. Everyone's just working their butts off trying to get this thing to work and happen. Mm. So it genuinely is something where they are pulling in ungodly hours doing all these things. It was it was amazing to be a part of. And I had one of the easiest jobs there.
Well,
and I was very busy.
Right, and you had a lot going on. Yeah. They're all now in, my understanding is they're all in Amsterdam smoking pot and getting free hookers. So good job, Blizzard, on your way
home. Well, in that case, I got the wrong flight. I should have stayed out for a little bit longer. That sounds amazing.
Well, I know some are vacationing in Amsterdam. What they're doing there, I don't know. But I always assume pot and hookers because that's the stereotype, see? And I like those.
Well,
I
mean, again, why not? If that's what floats your boat,
yeah,
go for it.
So let's talk about this whole Argus business, 7.3. I really, really like the on-ramping of this patch. Like I said, so I spent 6 days in California on an anniversary trip, and I have been completely away from games, and when I got back, I was so busy getting caught up that I've hardly had any time to play anything. But I did get about an hour of that 90 minutes you mentioned of introductory sort of story questy stuff at the top of Argus. And I have to say, from my experience in World of Warcraft, when big patches land and story content hits, I think this is beyond what they've ever done. I really, really like it. And I like it in the sense that it feels way more crafted, way more thought through, way more cinematic, way more voiced, way more lots of things for a patch. This feels like expansion launch story content to me in terms of quality and stuff. I think the world's a little sparse, but that's a different issue and maybe has more to do with the particular art style that Argus needs in its current form and sort of dilapidated state. And it's kind of a me problem, but beyond that, the story, the plot points, the father mother stuff, which we'll get into spoilers later, but I really, really like it. And I'm curious how you guys, just your first impressions walking in there. I mean, the first thing you have to do is go back to your home city, find Velen, talk to him, listen to him in two voices, because he talks in one voice while you're doing quest stuff and he talks in another voice when he's actually speaking to people. It still drives me nuts. Come on, Blizzard, get your voice guy in there. Anyway, small thing. Get on a ship, fly to Argus, and boom, you've got a new hub of operations. You've got a bunch of new questing to do and story to get through. And this is all well in advance of you unlocking the world quests that then pop in that area and the everything else you can do post that point. And every single thing, if you've been gone for a little bit, like I've been gone for a little bit, everything that drops artifact power items, I'm used to those things popping 8,000 artifact, 12,000 artifact, whatever it was last time I was really focused on that. Like 12 million. It's the first one I get. It's like 12 million artifact power.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But the way the reason is that whatever you were doing before, you're bumped up to artifact research level 40 with the patch, 41. Everyone is 41. So obviously it bumps you to the maximum immediately. I do want to mention quickly, though, you said it's well constructed and there's cinematics and everything, and I mean it's true, but I don't know that this conveys that this is better done than other patches. I mean, it's hard to explain. It's still WoW. It's still
I think a patch
for WoW, but it's so much better put together that it feels more engaging. Well, maybe I shouldn't say so much better, but it's significantly better put together, and it's more engaging. It feels like even if you've been gone for a while, you understand what's happening and what the stakes are, and the cinematic content feels more present than anything else.
Yeah, very carefully. It feels thoughtfully crafted, and
One of the issues Legion had is that they didn't build it with dynamic zones in mind.
Yeah.
And then they managed to get it working, and they were like, okay, let's put this in. So the story and quest flow of the zone-to-zone experience isn't really there. It's all over the place. And Argus now, Shadows of Argus, is that opportunity to kind of correct that and provide a really directed, concise story experience. And it still suffers very much from being World of Warcraft in that, for example, as a paladin, I had Arator, who's the son of Tyrellian and Illaria, going around with me as my bodyguard.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're kind of talking away saying like, what of our son? What will we say when we meet him? I'm like, guys, he's right here. This is, it's kind of awkward. You should probably say something.
Sure.
You know, that's World of Warcraft. But as far as a story goes, exceptional. Yeah. You know, it's a fantastic story. The cinematic, which we'll talk about at the end of the show.
Yeah, we're saving a big spoiler for the end.
I think this is such a big
part of it. It's super. Hard to understand. Yeah, exactly. It's super emotive. It takes us in a really fun direction. I think again, it's just another example of how this is a product of a team that has, you know, they've grown their beard 100%. They really know who and what World of Warcraft is. And how best to show that off.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also a part of it, which is this 7.3 patch should, by normal storytelling standards, kind of should have been another expansion entirely, right? We've completed the story of Legion in normal World of Warcraft or gaming terms.
Yeah.
Like we've killed the big bad and
we defended our home. They've been pushed back. And,
Yeah, exactly. And we've had like a significant amount of content and patches and everything. And it does feel like this is like, all right, the story is done. We've had the arc of the expansion and we're telling you what happens next. That in itself feels immensely satisfying. And it feels like something you don't usually get, maybe not in old games, but certainly not in World of Warcraft, where we're going beyond it's like as if we killed the Lich King in Wrath of the Lich King, and then we do something else after, like what happens with
that's the problem. Previously we have done that. And so we've done it, but it was the Ruby Dragonshire or something like that. And everyone's like, well,
oh, yeah, count.
And it was exactly, it was filler content. This is all killer, no filler. And so we're just getting all of this great stuff. It's crescendoing at the end of this. And that's just fantastic.
Yeah, it feels like a principled approach to a goal they had. Like I feel like at the end of Warlords, them not being happy, players not really being happy with the way all that sort of fizzled out toward the end. I think they just
100%.
Said,
and that team, like I said, the thing is like I had many a sort of drunken conversation with Ian, and me drunk and him not really. He can definitely handle his alcohol, which just basically turns into me ranting at him about, oh man, yeah, guys, you do it better.
And I'm sure that never happens to him when he's with players and
exactly. He was like,
I'm enjoying this.
But I think one of the things that I can repeat is I think he's particularly happy with Legion. Like I don't think he feels like there's too many things in Legion that he actually has a regret around. Whereas I think, if you look back at any previous expansion or patch, there'll be a thing that they look back on and go like, oh yeah, we kind of messed that thing up. Mm-hmm. We should have done that better. Mm. I think the only thing he said potentially, that they could have done better would have been how legendaries drop. In terms of the random assortment that you presented, it would have been nicer, I guess, to not have to rely on RNG as much for legendaries. But I think even then, legendaries in and of themselves, they're quite pleased with, as I think they should be. Sure. I think they're great.
Yeah.
I think that Legion is really, really good.
I think it's the best expansion.
Yeah.
Think it's. I mean, maybe it's not the people have different preferences, but at this point, I would say it's the best expansion we've ever had, including, I know this is sacrilege, but I think it's better. And it doesn't mean I haven't played it as much as I have when I was so much into World of Warcraft.
Well, yeah, when you were younger and had less responsibilities.
Kind of. I remember those days.
Sure. Because, my responsibility now is to play Overwatch. So I have stuff to do.
You're a busy man. Busy man.
Yeah. But I do think that this might be the best constructed, most well put together, and honestly most fun expansion I've ever seen. The reworks for every class was amazing. The class...
Quest focus and the fantasy. I love the I world feel quest like system a thing.
Is incredibly good. Mm. I think it's really you know, a great way of approaching that problem that they've never been able to solve, that they've previously solved with daily quests. And yeah, anyway, so I think it feels
like a very redemptive expansion in the end. Like they made up for and then some the fallbacks of what happened with Warlords. So in that way, it's a huge success on a personal level.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm playing it right now.
Yeah, of course you are. I always assume you have.
He means that this very second. Yeah,
this very minute.
Yeah.
I have to think also. It's just a real personal success for Ian in that this was his first big chance to say, look, I'm now in charge. I'm going to do my best. We're going to make these changes. We're going to do these things. We're going to, you know, make the best expansion we possibly can. And he did it. And it takes a team. It's not just him, but it was important. Yeah, I think it was important for him and for the company to say, this person who used to, you know, his origins are just, you know, fan to in charge of World of Warcraft is a very interesting tale. I would love to sit and talk to him.
There's a lot more steps to it.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a huge team around him.
It's important to note, not to take anything away from Ian. Obviously, he did a great job. These things get put together well in advance of the release.
Right.
Well in advance of the release. I think it's safe to assume that the structure, I can't remember when he became game director. But
so it was literally before launch. So Chilton was out at Gamescom last year and was still game director, and Ian was assistant game director. Mm-hmm. And we used to laugh about how he was Tom's assistant, like, you know, assistant to the game director. You know, he just kind of like brought him a cup of tea if he needed it, or coffee or something like that late night.
Yeah.
You know, made sure he's got a cab home. But obviously, he was hugely from a raid leader in World of Warcraft through the system design team, through the raid. He was raid leader during, I think, Cataclysm, was it? Or maybe Mists?
Yeah, no, I think
around Cataclysm, Mists, he went on to kind of encounter design.
Which is
the big one. And then at the end of, or around Draenor, became assistant game designer to then move into game lead. At the end.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And it's just I mean leadership matters. So yes, they do this stuff in advance. Sure, they have a huge team. All this stuff is a team effort, blah 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 blah. But I think his leadership has been strong. He's proved himself and maybe raised the bar a little bit.
He's super one of us. As a player, like, genuinely the guy knows everything about the game. Like, in a freaky way. Like, he's like, I don't know if he's got like a Wowhead download in his mind or something, but you can ask him anything about anything, and he can give you an answer that's kind of informed.
Mm-hmm.
He'll call you on bullshit, and he's, like I said, he's a fantastic and impressive person to speak to. And like I said, if you chat to him, there is no mystery as to why this guy is leading our game. It's very much, you know, he is hugely impressive.
Yeah. Well done to him and everybody there. So, oh man, I don't even know where to start. Some of the things I really like, when you hit 110 on a character, all your relic slots are unlocked right away. So no more of that business. They got rid of rep grinding for the flight, getting flight in Legion. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. So there is now 100.
You just need to explore. What do you have to do?
It's everything but the weird rep stuff you had to do.
So you don't need the Broken Shore. Armies of Legion.
Correct.
Which makes sense.
But I did it the real way.
Yeah.
I did it the right way. And now all of these noobs come in and they can just do it as well. That's outrageous. I am disgusted by Blizzard.
It makes no difference, though, because you can't fly in Argus. So I loved it in terms of, you know, obviously I worked really hard last patch. I finally got flying. I was like, sweet. Yeah. And it's like, new patch. Oh, I can't play.
Yeah.
But that's just the nature of the beast. And
yeah,
I think
that's
still happy with the
the new reality with flying. That's just that's our future. That's our past. That's our present. That's how flying is going to work. It's always going to feel like a little carrot. Then you'll get it, and then you won't. And then you'll get it, and then you won't. And it's fine. I'm happy to have put that off, because I hate rep grinding. Like, I think it's a plague on mankind. So I'm happy to now do it. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, as soon as you hit 110 on that character, you get all those relic slots. You no longer have to do the Broken Shore quest line to allow your artifact to go beyond 34 points. You just freaking start, you get bumped up, like you mentioned earlier.
You get concordance as well. Amazing. Cool. Yep. So any character, when they hit 110, gets artifact knowledge 41. But if they hit 110 next week, they'll get artifact knowledge 42. Mm-hmm. You know, that'll keep going up over the next 10 weeks till we get to artifact knowledge 50, where it will newly cap. Mm. And so each week you're going to get four times the artifact power of the week before.
Yeah.
So equally, this is now the most alt friendly of all the patches in Legion. You know, we're now in a place where we're going to be able to have an alt that's been sat there, maybe at like, maybe it's at 100, maybe it's at 110, but you never really did much with it. You load it up now, after like a world quest, you will get enough artifact knowledge, power even to unlock your whole artifact.
Mm-hmm. You still have to go to 110 though. That's,
you have to get to 110, but that's time. It's not too bad in all fairness. Yeah. You do get
sorry to interrupt again, but you do get the new what's it called? Like the things to augment the items that you can equip for leveling.
Heirlooms.
Heirlooms, thank you. Wow, yeah. I blanked, but yeah, so you get relics to update to 110, so that's cool as well.
Yeah, that stuff's pretty rad. The only excuse I needed to go get my mage to 110 was new spell animations. I'm really stoked about those. I think they look awesome, and that was the first thing I did. Actually, I logged in. I didn't even check my two main characters that I play the most. I went straight to mage, who's like, I don't know, he's 105 or something, and just so I could see these new animations, because for whatever reason that pushes my buttons. I love when that kind of spit polish comes to a game that's this old, and they look really cool, and the build up for like fire spells especially is just so rad looking, and I love it. So that's all the excuse I needed to work on that alt, but all these other little quality of life improvements and removing some of these gates is going to make it so that he will, my panda mage Fleener will be level 110 in no time.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Terpster still thinks that GURPSTER is based on your name. You think that's what I named my...
I'm fairly certain
Demon
of that,
Hunter.
Really.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't at all. I just couldn't find any other GURP names. And, you know...
And then you went with, hang on, what's this
some influence
exactly
there.
Like? Yeah, exactly. Well, I think my lawyers are fairly sure that there was influence.
Yeah.
So you'll be,
but it's all Terps now though. Everyone calls you Terps, so it'd have to be GURPS.
It's an abbreviation. It's to keep it nice and easy, nice and chill. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's quicker to say.
Yeah.
Very millennial.
I like it a lot. What else? The Nether Light Crucible is unlocked count wide in 3 weeks, so you get a little time on that.
So is that just account wide for everyone, or don't you need to? You need to do the quests, right? It doesn't just
account wide. All your 110s.
Jump in straight away. The idea being, obviously, you've hit the content, and it then just gives you that opportunity to enjoy it a bit further.
Yeah, every single 110 can have access to it, but you do need to be 110 to get it. So, that feels obvious, but yeah. Hidden appearances and changed appearances no longer required you to use your specs, specific hidden or challenge artifact appearance to unlock others. So that got easier. And again, no more rep grinds to fly in Legion. And one thing I really like is I like the way they're handling me flying in basically a Protoss carrier. Carrier has arrived is what I thought as soon as that thing popped into the air. Got into that ship, flew over there. And now that ship is your base command. It's your operations point.
Oh, the Vindicar.
Yeah, the Vindicar.
It's, cool,
it's super cool. I didn't expect that. I thought, all right, well, I'll go to a place. There'll be flight paths. There'll be a portal. It's going to be like every other place in the history of Warcraft. And it's not. It's like this new hub that's like a whole new everything you need.
I've said
I'd love
for a
it.
Long time about how, you know, I'd like the next expansion to be, you know, Kul'Thras, South Seas, N'Zoth, stuff like that. Mm. Wouldn't it be cool if instead of a order hall and a garrison, we got a pirate ship, a boat? Couldn't you imagine the Vindicar as a big ship?
Sure.
And it would just filled with all of your kind of champions, but maybe not just your class's champions, maybe just the best that Azeroth has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that there's so much they could do with this tech. Crazy little things like when you hearth, if you set your hearthstone to it, but you hearth to it when you're on one of the other islands. What are they called? So you maybe you're on Crocoon, and then you're on the Antoran Wastes, but you set your Hearthstone to the Vindicar on Crokoon.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on Antoran Wastes and Hearthback, you'll go to the Vindicar there. So it's as silly as that sounds, that's using tech that we haven't seen before.
Mm.
Previously, you set your hearth somewhere, that is to that point. Whereas now we're seeing that you're on, yes, technically you're on the Vindicar, but obviously it must be two different ships. You know, ships don't move around in World of Warcraft, and equally, you know, does it know? Anyway, it's cool. It's impressive.
I agree.
They're doing some new stuff, and a little bit like, you know, back in the day with Missing Pandaria, the farm, mm-hmm. the Sun Song Ranch or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
You know, the farm. We got the farm and then we got garrisons.
Right.
And I'll be really interested to see if this is helping to test something cool.
Something new.
You know, maybe
yeah.
there's something bigger coming. I think, yeah, there could be some really fun things.
It's really interesting choice for them to not have just traditional flight paths in this new, these three new areas and this, all these new zones. It's teleporters.
Again, I think it's exactly, it's always trying to find out what's the happy balance to then not have flying.
Yeah.
You know, it's from a game designer's perspective, flying is the worst thing to ever happen in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You know, we love it and it's a super convenience factor, but it completely ruins the game in terms of being able to shape and craft an experience.
Mm.
You know, when you're grounded, you can make it so that, okay, we put a big mountain here, so the guys have to go through this other area, and that means they're going to encounter these other creatures here. So then we'll introduce this faction by putting in an event here and all of those things. The second you make it so that a player can go anywhere they want in any direction,
mm-hmm.
you lose so much control and power over how a player should experience the yeah. game.
They've done the right thing by relegating it. They've relegated it to this rad thing
to
do.
The balance with the whistle.
Oh, right.
The whistle. But even then, I think maybe they don't like the whistle. You know, the cooldown, is that right?
Really?
You know, there is no cooldown on the teleporters.
I think it works perfectly.
Mm. I don't know. Again, I'm just saying devil's advocate here. They're trying something new.
Yeah.
And so it'd be interesting to see again if this becomes anything more.
I agree. I like, though, that flying, they've done the right thing with flying, which is we can look at it all these years later and comment on it now, I think, and feel okay about commenting on it in a way that's not covered in all the vitriol and everything everybody had for it when it first happened back in 2014 or was first announced, or when Greg Street first said it on our show at BlizzCon. But the way that they've relegated it to an end game convenience that's earnable, but only after a bunch of time and you've cleared the place out basically, and now you have the right to fly over it, I think is the right thing. That feels right to me. And it's still optional. It's like, you don't even have to do it. For whatever.
Yeah. I mean, given enough time and content, you can do it. But for example, Warlords, if you go back and do Warlords, you know, I didn't pick up flying at the end of Warlords cause I just couldn't be bothered. And it's as, you know, I said it's not as hard, obviously, because you outgear everything,
yeah.
but it's as long. You know, there's a rep grind there that literally you can only get through a single daily quest each day.
Yeah.
And so you have to play the game for like, you know, 24 days to unlock it. So, you know, they have made some things easier, and hopefully going forwards, they'll make it so that, you know, future players don't have to do as many tough things.
Mm.
But yeah, it's a tricky one to balance.
It's pretty good. Here's your schedule moving forward. Week one, you begin the invasion of Argus and embark on an epic storyline. That is happening now as of Tuesday. You begin in Crokin. Is it Crokin? Crokin? Crokin.
Crokin, probably. I don't know. I say it.
I don't know.
Crokin.
Terpster's Terpster's already working on some great lore episodes coming up just by hearing these
definitely.
Names.
Yeah.
You team up with the Army of Light and take the flight, or fight rather, to the very heart of Legion in the Antoran Wastes. Gain access to new world quests, emissaries on Argus, and all that stuff. So that's week one. That's happening now. And if you're not doing it, you should, because it's super rad. Week two, you finish the story of that area and travel to the ruined Draenei city of Makari, or as I like to say, McCree. It's a
yeah. What is it's after Jesse Makari, mm-hmm. Who is a game designer on, I think he's still on WoW, but that's who Jesse McCree in Overwatch is named after.
Yeah.
So they are the same. Freaking, they're meant to be the same.
Freaking love it. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should talk about this because it's a whole nother. Well, all right. Can I just want to say one quick thing. Watching Game of Thrones finale the other day. Okay. There is a.
Wait.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I promise. I just want to say.
He is. I can already know.
There is. I just want to say that there is a shot
Yeah, that is straight out of a cinematic from a certain game expansion.
Literally. Yeah. I mean, it is. Yeah. It could. It, there's no way
How
it's coincidental.
Not spoiling it.
It's super. No, super spoily. But I agree with you, Scott. If I was working on that show in the VFX department and given that brief, I would totally be putting a load of homages to my favorite game.
I would too, and that's what I'm going to assume is going on. I need to talk to Chris, but I want to know. I kind of want to know. And I'm not going to say any more about it. All we know is it's...
You've got to remember, though, in terms of, you know, Warcraft borrowed a lot from A Song of Ice and Fire back in the day. Mm. You know, I think one of the first quests in Warcraft 3 was like a ballad of Frigid and Flame or something like that. You know, they had an Ice and Fire thing reference, there
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, Blizzard being Blizzard, they're always cool. Because they know that they like to take a few of those liberties as well when they want to pay homage yeah. to the things they love.
Yeah, and if that's what happened, that's awesome. That's so cool that they did that. I refuse to think it was an accident, though, or just happenstance. There's no way.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't see that being possible.
All right, so now I
didn't... Like at least they know that, you know, this thing exists.
Yeah. At the very least.
But at worst, it was said... nefarious sort of like, guys, we want to have this sort of shot. Here's a great example of that, and someone took that and then remade it rather than making it their own, but who knows.
Yeah.
That being said, those things haven't been invented by either of those properties.
We've had
those things like in, you know, Dungeons.
Yeah, as concepts, they're not new, nothing new about them. Right. as an actual framed shot, though, that was uncanny. Yeah. I was like, whoa. All right, anyway.
Oh, there were tweets all week showing like the two side by side and going like, oh my god, this is...
Yeah, I mean, there's very few times you can have an episode of Game of Thrones spoiled to you by Hearthstone cards either. So I mean, it's great to see that. I mean,
we didn't spoil it though, we did a good job. We've nice and vague. It's nice and vague.
I think you'd only understand it if you've seen it.
Yeah,
so I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's the kind of spoiler I like. If you haven't seen it, you don't know what we're talking about, so there you go. Not spoiled.
Been on the internet since then. That's true.
I will say, however, that the previous episode was copiously spoiled by many people, including Scott, posting illustrations of the equivalent in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
And going like, oh, I can't believe there's something in Gears of War, in Game of Thrones. And like trying to be coy and not mention what he's spoiled. It's so obvious what is being spoiled. But
anyway. Yeah. So we're not talking about them doing it on the boat. Okay, sorry. No, I'm confused then.
No.
Okay,
never mind. I don't want to.
Hey, incest hasn't been this cool since Star Wars.
No, it hasn't. And it really hasn't.
Let's lay off it.
We are in a renaissance period for incestual storylines.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I've got a new short story. It's an animated short I'm going to do for Overwatch. It's going to be 30 minutes long. Let's just say it's all incest.
Yeah. Are you going to call it a long or a short? Because that seems...
I'm calling it Hanzo makes up with Genji.
Ah. Ooh, oh, my.
But then I'm going to put a line through up and then put out.
I'm glad it was Genji and Hanzo, because for whatever reason I can deal with that. I if you would have said what's her name and her mom.
Only a Shimada can control the dragon, and I'm like, well, I think dragon's a bit, you know, like, I get it, it's impressive, you know, I'm not gonna name mine a dragon, but I mean, yeah, you know, it's still a kind of fair enough, whatever.
And then he yells Taquito Grill and fires a giant dragon. Yeah. All right, week three, you finish the Shadow of Argus storyline, unlock all the world quests.
This is my complaint about 7.3, Shadows of Argus, is it's gated to high heaven. In that it's 90 minutes of new gameplay and then bloop, go and do some world quests. You know, there was no kind of crescendoing quest that kind of said like, you know, I'm gonna need some time to prep this next thing we're doing, and it's something that Suramar did as well, and I would prefer they found a more story way, a visual way in game, so I can see some progression happening that I'm waiting on, almost like, you know, if we found a big tunnel and it caved in, then seeing the rocks slowly getting cleared before oh, next week it's clear, now I can go through. Mm-hmm. You know, just something that makes it feel less of a just an artificial gate and more of a story component.
Yeah, I think I agree, although it's funny because this patch is all about ungating a bunch of things, but it's also gating major things. Like, it's still, they still have their gates. Now, the question is,
have you done the guild hole part? I mean, the class hole missions?
Most, yeah. Yeah.
Part? On my like, main. You have the six level 900 yep. Followers and everything?
No, okay. No. Because
I thought maybe
I
something
not.
Happened after that. I have one missing.
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't. Done. So I had all those. You get, you do two or three class hall missions, and you unlock some more world quest areas, sort of thing. But that's okay. It's just more world quests, which is, you know, all right, cool. It's just not what I would have liked in terms of I want more quest story. I want to chase this, you know, story down. I get that. Some of the story just won't be complete until, you know, week three we get Seat of the Triumvirate. And so then obviously that's, I think we
the
get
five
our
five men done.
Yeah, we get our Crucible then, don't we? Our Netherlight Crucible.
Yeah.
Because we pick up the shadow component then, I think we should. So I understand why these things are gated. It's all part, I just, like I said, it's very frustrating as someone who just wants to just, you know, be the biggest glutton in the world and consume everything straight away.
Yeah. Especially something like time, where you really have no, there is no modifying.
I mean,
the thing is,
but the other option is that they make it a rep thing and then it's like, oh, now I have to play for X amount of time.
Yeah, I like this better.
You know, so, I mean, this works. I would like it to be telegraphed better. I'd like it to be telling me like, oh yeah, don't worry, only two more days, only three more days, you know, whatever's
quite
happening.
Abrupt.
It just stops. Yeah. And so yeah, I would have preferred it to not be
time gating is weird.
But I think it was the same in on the Shattered Shore, the patch 7.2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, exactly.
No, it was. Yeah.
It just like you had 10 weeks and it stopped after.
Yeah. But you know, we're used to it now. We're used to it now. But this is the whole raid release. I mean, that they're just following that pattern, really.
And equally, though, if you hit this content up in a month's time, you will have an uninterrupted flow from beginning to end, and it will be a beautiful, coherent play experience. You'll want to just, you know, nuzzle down with some hot cocoa and spend the weekend just playing through that.
Yeah.
And holy crap, am I 100% going to be doing that with an alt? Because I think having that story in its entirety to be consumed in that way would be beautiful.
Yeah, it is interesting though. They've basically taken the raid release schedule and applied it to the story, which is, you know, it's definitely one way of them making it so people don't tear through it in an afternoon and then have nothing to do after. You know what I mean? Like, I see why they do it. So I don't know if there's a better way, but that's, I totally get it. Anyway, it's good. It's really good. Patrick, have you achieved anything great while we've been talking today? While you've been in the game, have you?
I have collected about 400 million artifact power
good,
in world quests.
Good
on
lord,
Jeez. So he's done three world quests,
something like that. A little bit more, but yeah,
that's really crazy.
The thing is, an interesting thing when I was over in Irvine before, I was talking to Morgan Day, and he was telling me that they've now put the tech in the game to allow them to say billion in words. And, you know, he said how like kind of how silly that sounds. But when you have artifact power and it says, you know, like X million, they used to not have the tech to be able to say billion. Mm. So, you know, it's as silly. It seems incredulous, really, when you say it. And he was kind of, you know, laughing about like, you know, don't worry, we've just put this in. We're cooking on gas. It's, you know, it is. They have huge numbers, and he joked about, you know, soon we'll have mega artifact power, you know, kind of back with the item squish sort of thing. But these are huge numbers, and I think because they know they're not continuing artifacts through to the next expansion, they don't really care that much.
Because there's
like,
nothing to squish.
Cool, let's have a you know, a trillion. Let's do a trillion.
But by then, there's no reason to squash or squish the numbers, because if they're not continuing it on, who cares? Just let it go as high as it needs to.
It's not the artifact power they're squishing for. It's the
Just
stats.
Everything in general. Yeah. That I could see. That's going to have to come up every other expansion or something. Like, when was the first squish? Was it Pandaria, or was it Warlords? I don't remember now.
It was Warlords. I think it was Warlords.
Okay, yeah. My thinking is the way that these numbers have gone up with one expansion in between the two, they've got to do this like every other expansion or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't mind because it doesn't affect the old game. I think they've demonstrated that well. Mm-hmm. Like, I can go back and solo stuff easier now than I could before. You know, it scales on item level, and I just rinse through mythics solo, like from Warlords. So it is great. You know, I've got no problem at all with the stat squish. I don't need to see big numbers for my EPing. I just want to feel progression. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, big fan of that.
Yeah. Somebody on Twitter asked a question. Oh, so I put out this request this morning saying, hey, if people use the hashtag instance, and you can still do this, people listening live, if you want these to show up, and we can kind of look at them throughout the remainder of the show. But Ro from, we all know Ro, he said this. He said, this patch is great so far, but will it end up setting a high bar of expectation for future big patches? This is the Blizzard conundrum, right? Always outdoing yourself so that the next time, It's too much. You can't handle it. Titan, you know, is maybe the great victim of that. But then now Overwatch is such a high mark. How do they top that? Or how do they top whatever it is they do every time they do it? And that's a valid question for this, because now we're talking about, I mean, the bar was lowered with Warlords, probably, some would argue. So now they've, you know, certainly far exceeded expectations for that.
See, even then, though, I don't know. I genuinely enjoyed Warlords. You know, it didn't do everything right, but I think that it was still a step up on a huge number of things. And I think Blizzard always improves on stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just a question of the game, the part of the game that you really enjoy, how much they've, you know, changed that from the one before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately, you're going to find yourself struggling when you start looking at kind of weighing up expansion to expansion. And is this one better than this one? You know, I think all of us would agree that nostalgia coupled with just being a solid, amazing expansion means that Wrath of the Lich King is the best expansion to date. Mm-hmm. And then Legions come along and change that notion.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say that Legion, you know, that everything in between was crap. You know, I love Mists. I thought Mists was fantastic. Yeah. And I go back now and I play Mists of Pandaria content and I love it.
Yeah,
like,
it's great.
It feels like they kind of put mini games in, which we've only kind of now really seen come back with Legion, mm-hmm. where, you know, you start, there's a new secret mount that's being discovered at the moment in the game. And one of the stages in that involves playing Bejeweled in game. You know, it's just like that's incredible. I mm-hmm. love it when Blizzard takes their tech and tools and game engine and really has fun with it.
Yeah.
I've got no doubt, though, again, like the guys are super confident about what's coming next.
Yeah.
They know it's good, and we wouldn't be progressing at the pace we are with Legion if they weren't confident that they're going to be able to follow it up with something as good, if not better.
Yeah, I totally agree. Go ahead.
If you look at it that way, I think it's a valid piece of criticism, like, well, not criticism, but a question to wonder about. This has been so cool. Can they top it? Maybe, you know, the next one is going to be not as good and maybe it's going to be better. Who knows? But the thing is, what's your option? If you think like that, you're like, oh, we should maybe not make this one really good so that the next one isn't too bad. Like, obviously, you try your best every expansion and you try to make it as good as you can. I don't think there's any other solution. You're not going to purposely make it less good. Just in case people are disappointed or, you know,
mm-hmm.
so, they always try to make it as good as they can.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if the next one isn't as good, then they haven't managed to do their job the best way they could.
Like, sure. Sure. I feel like things are really bright for this old game, you know, like really, really, really happy.
Especially with this, that they have managed to, I think everyone would agree that this expansion has been great, maybe not the best one. So
yeah, I would totally agree. And thank you for saying Mist was underrated, because I freaking love Mist of Pandaria. It's one of my favorite expansions.
I think we're getting far away from it now that people, you know, think of it as, yeah, it was cool. Yeah. It was really back then that people were so negative about it.
For me, it was one of the most exploratory show me new stuff expansions. Like, even more so than even Legion. Legion shows me a lot of fell energy.
I think, again, I think that the rabid hardcore got upset it was pandas. Yeah. And that colored everything.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Mist, for me, was just filled with so
Wonder.
Many cool... Yeah, just, like, it felt so fresh and so new and so different. And I loved it. And I, like I said, I think, to be honest with you, I don't feel like Warlords has that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not yet. Maybe it will in the future. Who knows?
You mean Legion?
No, Warlords in terms of you know, an expansion.
Oh, like
I think yeah. that Legion has it. I think the Legion, I love going around finding secrets, you know, repping up with people is still an enjoyable thing. Yeah, I think that Legion's definitely, though, this kind of pinnacle in that Wrath is a product of its time. Mm. And when you go back and play it, there... it lacks some of the finesse and fidelity that you get in a brand new thing like Legion.
Yeah.
So the mountains look terrible, whereas you fly through Stormheim and you've got the most beautiful fractal mountains that look incredible and all the rest.
Yeah.
You know, those things are.
They have done there's been a shift, and I don't know when the shift happened, but there's an art shift on Warcraft scenery texturing, and it's, if you look, especially, I noticed this yesterday on Argus, there's a painterly quality to stuff. And I mean, literally like a oil paint effect style brushwork being used to create textures on the sides of mountains, on the sides of rock
faces.
Yeah,
I mean, they've always had this kind of painted style, mm-hmm. but it seems to be kind of up to 10 in terms of all the rest. I mean, I don't know. How long have our characters kind of looked where you click? Like, you know, when you click on an NPC, how long have, like, their head moved? Because I only really noticed this the other day.
Mm.
And I was like, is this new? I don't know. But they're always, you know, improving the animations now. You know, we've seen with the casting animations, just the timeless style of Warcraft is just proving that actually it's not all that timeless, but it can be made to look fantastic fairly quickly.
Oh, have you seen there were people... tweeting obviously it's very old, but the beta version of WoW compared to the look
Terralian looks incredible.
Yeah,
and again, Scott, when you see this cinematic and you see what they can do, admittedly, you know, in-game engine but not in-game, but they see what they can do with an animator animating this face, the emotions and stuff like that. It's incredible.
It's so good. And he is awesome. Oh my gosh. He's so cool. He is one of my favorite things ever. He's my favorite new character. Not new character. He's my favorite current character in the game that they're showcasing. And his armor is just utterly badass. And the painted version of him that they did.
Paladins get to get it.
Oh, dude. It is so paladin.
It's, yeah.
Somebody on Twitter also asked, do you think that the Brotherhood of Light or whatever they're called, what are they called? The Army of Light.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're actually good, or is there something weird going on? And maybe,
well, I think we'll get into the spoilers when we talk through that, because that's gonna be more of a progression thing, kind of going forward. And I think, you know, we can't talk about that without talking about everything.
Sure.
So we'll save that one.
All right. Now here's my theory that I need to throw at you guys. In Heroes of the Storm this week, we got on the PTR, Kael Thuzad has entered the Nexus and is now a Heroes character, and will be probably public next Tuesday.
Isn't gonna be like Jaina as a Dreadlord thing.
Basically, yeah, and he's a mage, and he's...
So it's been. I mean, are you sure your theory, though, isn't that Jaina is a Dreadlord?
No. Although she has a Dreadlord skin, which is not...
Okay, yeah, because that is a meme.
That's going around. Okay. That is not my theory. Here's my theory.
I feel they wouldn't have done it if Jaina was indeed going to become a Dreadlord.
Exactly.
Or, like, was corrupted. Maybe, it's like, almost like a...
Totally agree.
Hide in plain sight, though. I like it.
So here's my thing. I believe... that with the release of Kael Thuzad in that game, with the launch of the current expansion for Hearthstone and all the Death Knighting and ice stuff and everything that's going on over there, and this May storyline where it's all about ice, and stay with me for a second. I think this all leads up to a World of Warcraft expansion where we go back to Lich King style stuff, where Zippy in there now, the current Lich King, what's his name? Fergus.
Bolvar.
Not Fergus.
Fergus Fordragon.
Where Fergus Fordragon is finally brought to bear, something, something, something. But I think they are getting us kind of secretly jazzed up for the idea of a whole lot of ice and a whole lot of ice crown and a whole lot of Northrend and a whole lot of something, something, something going on with that. And I don't mean like Arthas is resurrected or any of that. I just mean we're going to get back to Lich Town, USA in the next expansion.
See, I,
so you
I
think all the Void Lord things are to, or they're setting it up for a few expansions down the line?
Maybe, or they could be tied still. They would have interest in sowing discontent Azeroth by, you know, having this all happen again. The reason I'm getting to all of this is it just, I mean, think about it. Legion is very much digging up some old relics and using them again, whether it be, you know, Illidan and his whole business or whatever. They do this, and so I wouldn't put it past them to be trying to go back to some of that. And it's a very fertile place. There's a lot you could do, just like they proved out in Legion. It didn't just turn out to be Burning Crusade again, and you know, let's go fight.
Yeah, I would worry though in terms of going from repeating the Burning Crusade to then the cadence of then repeating Wrath of Lich King to then should we do Cataclysm 2? Remake the old world again. I worry about that as a direction, and I think that whilst you shouldn't make a decision based on the fact that we kind of made that decision in the past.
Yeah.
I just think everything we have in the game that they've been seeding, as is the beautiful Hollywood method of seeding story. Marvel's been doing it across 20 films, it feels like, in terms of the Infinity Gauntlet. We know where we're going, we know what's happening, and they're doing the same thing in World of Warcraft. We've introduced all these things. The Lich King is a player in the Death Knight class hall. He's almost like your benefactor. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be returning to Bolvar, but I do think that Bolvar definitely could be he's changed, certainly from his job as the Jailer of the Damned, but I don't think that that's now. I think that could be the expansion after next. And even then, you've got characters like Sylvanas. It's suspected that Sylvanas is gonna turn bad again soon. Not that she's been bad before, but she's gonna, the thought is that she could change, and so maybe that coupled with a Lich King style expansion could be good. Or it might be that she's actually going to be a servant of the Void, and that leads us into a different type of expansion.
Right,
so who knows? With all of it, we'll find out in all good time. But
and we know, yeah. We didn't talk about this before. Jaina is the key art for WoW for the BlizzCon deal, which doesn't always foretell anything, but sometimes it does.
No, exactly. I mean, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised again. Jaina, Kul'Tiras, we think that Kul'Tiras, it makes sense, but even then, Kul'Tiras in itself isn't an expansion.
Right.
But if we've got N'Zoth or Void Lords, the idea is at the end of this patch, we should have dealt with the Legion threat.
Yeah.
That was kind of the promise that Ian made to us at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Was we're gonna go to Argus and we're gonna finish the fight.
Right. Just Sean in the chat room says, we're gonna have to go up there eventually. Bolvar is being shady as F up there.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think exactly again, there's seeding going on, but nowhere near the level that we're seeing with other characters.
Yeah.
So I think definitely, and who wouldn't love to go back to Northrend? And equally, what a great excuse for the Blizzard team to then remake Northrend, redo some of those art assets and mountains. Maybe they take us underground and we get to explore more of Azor Nerub and stuff like that. And we have, those kingdoms down there. And there's a million and one things they could do. I love Wormrest Temple. I love the idea of this kind of dragon council place, with all the sanctums and stuff like that. There's a billion beautiful, rich things to explore there. I just don't think it'd be next.
Yeah, you're probably onto something there. All right, Patrick, I wanted to at least, before we get to email here, I would like to at least get your impression of the Overwatch Deathmatch, which is now a public thing and got a bunch of maps, some altered versions of existing maps, a couple of new things, and it's a 4-on-4 yippity-doo over there. So how is that? What do you think of it?
Yeah, it's cool.
Wow.
Wow, that is a ringing endorsement.
It's probably the most viable new mode that they have introduced in the game. It was on PTR a few weeks back. It just came on the live version. Mm-hmm. And you have free-for-all deathmatch and team deathmatch. And free-for-all deathmatch feels extremely Quake-like, especially on that new map, the Chateau Guillard. In the lore, it's Widowmaker's property, before she became an evil agent of Talon.
It's like Croft Manor, isn't it?
Yeah. Before she ate too much silver nitrate and became blue, or whatever.
Exactly. it feels like it's all little corridors, and there's even a jump pad, and it feels really like a different kind of map.
Yeah.
It's definitely super fun, and as I said, I think it's more viable than even things like the capture the flag mode.
Yeah,
it's a genuinely, and it works. It's weird because I'm sure there's going to be a meta, and there are some characters that are better than others, but even in 1v1, almost every character is kind of balanced because you do have the health packs. It's not like the 1v, not the death matches, but, elimination mode that they had where you didn't have health packs. Here you do. And so even characters that don't have self-sustain can do stuff. Mm. I think it's a really good new mode, and it's possibly, I think it's here to stay. Mm. And if you haven't tried it, you definitely should.
Yeah. Sidian says Symmetra's broken. I think that's been a truth for a very long time. She's OP. Straight up.
She's definitely, but she doesn't have, she can't heal herself. So there's a little bit of.
But in this mode, now she's got packs. She's an unstoppable monster of great delight.
Yeah. I mean, what she can do is basically put her turret nests near a big pack.
Yeah.
And you will never get there. So what you do when you know that she's there, you just don't even go there.
Right.
Never.
Yeah.
Like, you just leave her there and she doesn't get kills. So I guess depending on the level of play, people will know to just ignore her so she doesn't get kills, meaning she doesn't get, she's balanced that way. Mm. She doesn't win. So you have to starve her, basically.
Yeah. She's a butthole.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
All right, before we do Town Crier, just a quick note. I bought that StarCraft remastered deal.
Mm-hmm.
Played it once, and all it made me want to do was play StarCraft 2. That's an odd feeling.
Oh, no, I hear it in terms of, the quality of life changes aren't really there because they wanted to stay authentic to StarCraft.
Yeah, they're not there at all, really. You can't select squads more than whatever it is, nine or...
Yeah, like 9 units or 8 units, whatever it is, 12. But, I mean, ultimately, it just serves for, you can install it on Windows 10. You can play it in widescreen up to 4K, probably beyond. It does what it was meant to do.
It does look good. It looks real good what they did.
Well, it looks okay. Like, it looks, it looks good for what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, the problem is in my head, StarCraft looked like that. And it's only actually when you press, like, F5 or whatever it is to kind of go into old mode, and you're like, oh, wow, this is terrible. And then you're like, oh, okay. You mean it didn't always look like this? Yeah. I thought it always looked good.
Our brains are like, weird, man. We have weird brains.
We remember stuff so weirdly. Yeah. So strange.
Games, video games and movies are definitely, for me anyway, these are the most prominent examples of this, but... What you remember is not what it is. And so when I played it for a bit, I was like, oh, yeah, that was cool. Okay, this is neat. Boy, this story mode, I forgot. It's just a bunch of moving avatar heads in a very poorly animated 3D Studio Max screen. Mm. And like, you just forget. And then all those quality of life things. And it literally made me go, I could just fire up StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, might finally finish, Legacy of the Void or something like that.
Sure,
yeah.
This is really weird. weird experience.
It's its own thing.
I was happy to give $15 to Blizzard, though. That was not a problem. I didn't feel ripped off. I just, you know, support this sort of stuff is something I like to do. We got a quick email. Came to us at theinstance@gmail.com. This came to us from Joshua in Australia, who says, "G'day, Instance crew." So he did like, you know, the Australians do there.
He is Australian. That's how you know he's authentic.
That's right. Regarding your conversation about the name change of Battle.net to the Blizzard app and then back again. Do you think it could have been a move by Blizzard to try and stop Activision from putting Destiny 2 on Battle.net? By changing the name to the Blizzard app, there was a chance to keep it purely Blizzard-focused. Thoughts? I think that's the reason that they didn't...
Changed back.
Yeah, because I think that was a deal that benefits everybody. I don't think Blizzard sees... No, this is just my own thinking.
So here's the thing about Blizzard, and pretty much every company and every individual on the planet, almost, they like money. And I'm pretty sure this is going to bring them money.
Yeah.
So
it's going to make them money. Of course it is. And, you know, this show's never really going to be about Destiny, but, you know, installed it. It's great. It's really, it's the version of Destiny you all wanted. It looks great. Feels
PC
great.
One
is great.
So much better.
Yeah, I have played hundreds of hours of Destiny on PS4 and I love that game. It is an amazing game. When I started playing on PC, I was like, this is what it was meant to be.
Yeah, this should be where it should be. It really should. The frame rate alone, I mean, it's super nice. And I think
I was thinking, like, I'm so much better at this game now. And then I realized, so is everyone else. So I'm actually at the same skill level that I always was.
That you always were, sure. No, I understand that. Yeah. But to speak to the question, I think that it benefited... I take Blizzard at their word as to why they changed it. I think their blue post on the subject was made perfect sense to me. And sometimes you think something's a cool idea, and then when you go to implement it, you're like, oh, wait, this actually limits us in some ways, or this doesn't really... This diminishes the power of a name that we've had for 25 years. Like, that happens, especially, you know, with something as important as these names. And in a company as big as Blizzard, this stuff can happen. So I don't think there's any conspiracy afoot or anything weird like that. And I think they are happy to have Destiny 2 on that.
Yeah,
launcher.
I think genuinely. Obviously, it's not a Blizzard game. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they will do things differently to Blizzard. The integration of Battle.net in terms of friends lists, you know, it's not cross-clan support sort of thing. So if your friends are on PS4, sadly, you're still going to be playing on PS4.
Right.
Or you're going to be playing with different people, which is a shame. But that's probably, again, more of a limitation from people like Sony than necessarily Blizzard. But Blizzard may equally not want to open up their platform to Sony or to change it way around.
They haven't enabled crossplay on anything on Sony's side.
No crossplay. They haven't. They have enabled it so that. Oh, no, wait. What if they've done something with?
Sony has no crossplay. Microsoft does on the Xbox One.
No, not crossplay, but like, isn't there some sort of connection between your Battle.net gamer tag and your Diablo game or something, or maybe Overwatch?
But for example, like I always got frustrated.
You can register your Battle.net gamer account to Sony. That's how you play Diablo and Overwatch. Yeah. I mean, you can play without them, but you assign them there.
Okay, that's interesting.
But yeah, I wanna be able to play my Diablo characters on the console version. Like I would totally do that.
If I could
go around my friend's house, we could sit on a couch
and
play Diablo on a console.
Yeah.
But not doing the Skeleton King for the billionth time. Like Leoric, I get it, mate. You know, I don't want to have to play through this and then have terrible gear and we haven't unlocked all the abilities and we're doing this for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even, I'd much rather just jump in.
Yeah, I agree.
Even in Destiny, you have EU and US servers. Now, thankfully, it's like Overwatch things carry over, but you're still not going to, you're going to have to maintain two friends lists. You're going to have to connect to the other server if you want to play with your friends from, you know, the other region. It's like...
Oh, but this is interesting because the chat, though, works.
Like Overwatch.
The chat works across the board, though. So when somebody, I don't mean on console, but... I was getting chats from international friends and I was getting tells from people locally or not locally, but in the States while I was in Destiny 2. And that was cool, but it sucks that if it was you, Patrick, we can't do anything together.
So basically, if maybe I'm misunderstanding, but it works the way it works for Overwatch, meaning if we're friends if I've added you as a friend in Europe and I'm connected to the European server, and you connect to the European server as well, we can chat. But if you connect to the US server, then we can't, because it's almost like you're two different sets of friends. I mean,
Wait, that's not true in Overwatch, because you and I have played and chatted in there lots of times.
Yeah, because I play on the US server.
Oh, right, right, right.
Mystery solved.
Yeah, mystery solved. I hate this stuff. I hate region lock crap. I freaking hate it. Ugh. I don't think you need
it. It's better now with Overwatch, the way they do it, meaning at least your progression.
You've got to buy your loot crates all over again and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And unlike, you know, Heroes and Hearthstone, I really hope they bring everything to at least to that level. But yeah, it's like, I'm not very often critical of Blizzard, but this is like, dudes, it's 2017, soon to be 2018. I mean, 2017, I could have understood, but like 2018, no way you're still doing this.
Come on, it is the future. It's so the future.
I got annoyed at Brode for, you know, we always get things later in Europe for Hearthstone. And, you know, he gave compelling reasons as to kind of why that is.
Yeah.
But I think that at the same time, it's, you know, we should be allowed to move our collection over. So if I want to be like, all right, screw it, I'll have a bit worse latency, but I'll get to play the content when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, it's a concession you can make, I suppose. Well, anyway, thank you for the email. We appreciate it, Joshua from Australia, who cannot play on servers with me, I guess. Theinstance@gmail.com is the email address he used. Feel free to use it on the frequent. Before we get out of here, let's whip it around the table and see if anyone has anything they would like to talk about.
Wait.
Spoilers. Hold on, everybody. We're doing spoilers. I'm going to use some music for this. Spoiler for the story of Legion. Here's a Soldier 76 remix, which makes no sense why I'd use this.
Contact.
But I like this song. Okay, so there you go.
We're all spoilers now.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. I don't know what happens, but I want to hear anyway. So there's no holding back on me. It's you at home or listening live. If you don't want to hear this, y'all pack it up.
Scott, it gets super, super intense. Basically, so what happens is, as the player, we uncover... what's the name? Zenu? Patrick, what's the name? Zira. So we uncover. So you know, Light's Heart. You know this core you've had in your class hall for the past year.
Yeah.
So that Naru core belongs to a Prime Naru, the leader of the Grand Army of the Light, okay. Zira.
All right.
And we recover Zira from the crashed Light spaceship, whereby we then put the heart back together. And she's powered up, she's online. And we get this cinematic between everyone. So Trellian's there, and she's all like, oh, cheers for fixing me, guys, thanks. And, oh, you brought the Chosen One with you. And Trellian's a bit like, oh, that kind of hurts a bit. But, yeah, if you want to straight away talk about Illidan, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Are these all snowflake creatures talking, or do we have...
It's the giant chandelier.
Okay.
Yeah, she's the angry wind chime sort of thing. And so she basically, she says, come on down. Illidan comes forward, and she's like, you know, my child, you had such a beautiful... future ahead of you. You know, you sacrificed your golden eyes. You know, those eyes were a sign of your prophecy and your power. And Illidan's like, you know, I've sacrificed everything. And it's like, okay, cool. Okay, well, let's not emo it up too much. and she's like, well, you are destined to lead the Army of the Light. You're going to be our salvation. So first things first, let the light cleanse you.
Oh my.
And so Illidan's like, WTF, bro? What do you mean? And she's like, you know, like, no, you know, we need to do this. This is a prophecy. You know, you need to be cleansed. You need to kind of get rid of all this demon crap. And so it then gets kind of dark. It gets a little bit rapey in that
It definitely feels like she is forcing upon him something that he doesn't want.
Mm. And 100% non-consensual light cleansing. And the thing is, when you watch it, it genuinely, like,
it feels uncomfortable.
It's horrid. Like, I was thinking, like, holy crap, this is, like, really, really, really dark.
Yeah.
And this is the prime Naru. This is meant to be, like, the first of the Naru.
Right.
So, you know, we've been led to believe that because these beings are light, that they're good. But I think, like, we have shadow priests that delve in the shadows and the void, that doesn't make them evil. That makes them use a different tool. And here we've got this kind of, you look at the Scarlet Crusade, you know, there's a lot of paladins in the Scarlet Crusade. They're these xenophobic, religious zealots. And yet, you know, we never really think of them as good guys. They just happen to be, you know, people we go and kill when we're level 35 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're now kind of shown that the light goes to, or that this Naru in particular would go to particular means to get what she feels she has to do, which is an argument is kind of what Illidan's done throughout his whole life. You know, he's been very much a sort of pragmatic, you know, greater good. I'm just going to do what needs to be done, you know, screw the consequences. But being firsthand that against Illidan, it gets particularly dark. And she's like, no, I'm going to cleanse you of your scars. You know, these horrific demon tattoos that you've, you know, these fell tattoos you've carved into your skin to stop the demon from within from escaping.
Yeah.
And he says, it's very neckbeardy emo, but it's powerful. He says, I am my scars.
Mm.
And he's basically saying, like, if you take this away from me, you're killing me, basically. Mm. Everything that is Illidan is gone.
Mm.
And I think that that's super powerful to be in that that situation where all of a sudden, you know, we thought that this being that we've worked really hard to save and resurrect is trying to kill Illidan and replace, just kind of almost use his body as a vessel for the light.
Yeah.
And she then binds him in these light shackles, so physically restrains him as everyone's kind of looking on. And a few people are getting a little bit awkward at this point. Tyrellian is still very much like, what we learn in the lead up to this is that Zira locked up Illyria for dabbling in the void. And so that was his kind of his life partner that he was kind of fairly okay with by the sounds of things.
She was stressed, it's fine, it's okay.
And kind of excusing this religious, you know, zealot
abusive behavior. You know.
And so anyway, so Illidan's now bound and shackled with the light slowly purifying his body. And he then just unleashes the mother of all I-beams straight into Light's heart, into the heart of Zira. Mm. And completely obliterates her into a billion pieces.
Oh, man.
And so then you've got Tyrellian, okay, yep, who yep. we've just met. Okay, he's been fighting the Legion for 10,000 years across the Trysting Nether and all the rest. Zira's been there. That's been his goddess.
Yeah.
Ages. And his goddess, basically.
Yeah, it is 1,000 years. I think that's exactly the number. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Tyrellian. He was in the second war.
The time in the Twisting Nether.
Yeah. Because it's all protracted out. In fact, in the early parts of the story, when you hit Argus, he explains that. He goes, I know it has been 1,000 years, but we still love you, son, or whatever. Anyway.
Yeah. Basically, you know, he's like, you know, what have you done? You know, what have you done to Illidan? And Illidan's like, you know, there is no prophecy. There is no mystical stuff that's going to save us. This is, you know, only we can save us.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that's kind of where it finishes. But you have this hugely powerful moment between these characters where, you know, this hugely powerful character, Illidan, is forced to lose control. And I think it's one of the most triggering, upsetting things. And like I said, has all of these sort of physical abuse, you know, rape connotations around it as the control is taken away from Illidan. And it's horrible
yeah.
to watch.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be a lesson, right? Like even, this lesson of like tunnel vision, perfect beings.
Again, What we're looking at there is that potentially it doesn't really matter if you're made of void energy or light energy or fell energy or whatever, is that the school of magic you dabble in isn't necessarily your moral compass. Mm-hmm. And so I think that what we at least get from this cinematic is the hint that maybe the light isn't all that. And that kind of future thing of, obviously, we're going to take out the Burning Legion, who is a kind of a combatant against the Void. We're going to then probably fight the Void next. But when we fight the Void, and if we defeat them, I wouldn't be surprised if we then have to fight the light, because I feel like, or, you know, do something, because balance seems to be needed mm-hmm. in these scenarios. Like, not having a balanced world is not a good thing. You know, so all light just means that you can have just a different kind of evil, I guess. Mm. You know, we've got just something else. So, yeah, all of it, like wow. I said, very deep, very, very full on, very powerful. And it's one of those things that you will watch and you will just be like, holy nuts.
And that's just that, for this first week?
That is literally the first 90 minutes you get that.
It's the conclusion of the first arc.
Ian said it's his favorite of the cinematics in there. I think we've got like four or five total, and I think we've seen two. So I think we've got another two or three to come.
That's crazy.
But I mean, I will say there's a couple of things. First, after that, Tyrallian should want to murder Illidan. It's like, and there he gets up and he's like, "All right, cool. Well, I guess we still have to fight," and they keep going. Yeah. So that's a little bit, I mean, I understand why they had to do it like that.
Yeah.
But the other thing is...
Video games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he could be brooding. They could have him brooding for a week.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's like, he could be like, I've just lost my goddess. Give me some time. You know, yeah. Like, time works differently out here. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to continue this quest.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, this is a major, major twist, because they have been propping up Illidan as the chosen one, as the champion of light forever, including, I don't know if you remember, but I was telling you about the amazing Illidan novel. It was, what, over a year ago? And I was recommending it on the show. And even in that, where they're basically retconning Illidan, they were telling you, like hinting at the champion of the light, and that he was going to be redeemed in that way, and there have been other elements in the story since then that show this. And this is completely, like, you're at the beginning, you're completely expecting for it to be, oh, all right, here we go, now he's going to become this, like, completely different visually, like, he's going to have his light scars and he's going to be transformed. And the way it slowly shifts to where you're understanding that this is not only, you know, uncomfortable, but ultimately it shouldn't happen. And when it doesn't happen, you understand that Illidan is just going to be Illidan. He's not going to be transformed. He's not going to be redeemed. He's going to stay the Illidan that we know. It's not going to be the Lich King type of story where it is, you know, he in the end he sees the light, and that's really
is Malfurion or Taranda anywhere near this event?
No.
Okay.
No.
Them in there going, "What's going on, brother? The trees have spoken to me. I want some of that bullshit."
Nature rises.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's. I mean, from the twist point of view, it's also pretty amazing. Yeah. I did not expect that at all. I thought he was going to be Illidan, you know, light champion, and that was going to be the awesome thing. But yeah, definitely it's not.
Well done,
exactly.
Blizzard.
And the thing is, if you've played Legacy of the Void and seen Kerrigan's journey, to go from that into this, I was expecting, to have this purified, you know, light energy Illidan being, and feeling like, Blizzard, we've done this, you know. You did this with
maybe Lexi, they played on it too. They were like, "All right, we know you don't want us to have any more redemption stories."
Mm-hmm. I mean, so that's what we're gonna, but exactly. Even then, like, he's redeemed on his terms, and he is him, and he's not. He's still like an a-hole, but he's our a-hole.
Yeah,
and it works. Like, he genuinely works as a character,
as an a-hole.
Yeah, I think he's a fantastic a-hole.
He's a great a-hole.
Yeah. Love playing with him.
He's one of the best AOs so in the game, no question.
I just think that, like I said, it's such a hard thing to do to cover these topics and these immense, you know, these cosmically powered beings and make their struggles relatable and something you can genuinely feel. Mm-hmm. And yet they do it. They managed it. And yeah. I think, like I said, you know, that story team, that in-game cinematic team, like, wow, holy nuts. They killed it. It was beautiful.
I agree. As soon as I see Taron Gregory at BlizzCon, I'm going to lick him up the side of the face. They're just killing it right now. Just going to lick him. Just going to
They really are. And that's the thing. And now he's doing stuff in Overwatch as well.
Yep.
You know, he's still doing stuff in World of Warcraft. Yep. That's just, you know, again, that's the fortunate thing about being a director is you can work across multiple projects and multiple franchises.
Yeah, wasn't Junkertown his first full credit as director, right?
Yeah, it's the first one he actually directed.
He's directed a load of in-game cinematics for WoW.
Yeah, well, he has, but I think he's never had...
That's the first Overwatch.
I thought he'd never had the actual title of... I thought he said something about this.
He's been a cinematic director, I think. Hmm. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought he was.
Okay, he listens. He'll clear it up for us and let us know what we're doing wrong here. But their team is just killing it. It adds so much to this game. Play World of Warcraft is the bottom line.
Or just watch these.
Great. Or listen to us spoil it. All right. That's it. There's your big spoiler at the end of the show. Patrick,
other cool stuff.
Oh, yeah. What else? What else?
On my Rhett Paladin,
yeah.
I got my holy hidden artifact appearance on Argus, killing guys that you normally only used to get it in Suramar and stuff like that. So they've made changes equally. I'm pretty sure my loot spec's not holy. So I think you can just get hidden artifact appearances now if you're just farming around. So I think they've made that a bit easier.
Right. Good. Fire. Very nice. Is it weird that I still carry GURPS Perfect Arrow on all my new characters?
Nope. You should. You should.
Okay.
It's,
it destroys one of my slots, but I have to have it.
You need to.
Yeah,
you need to.
I have to. My ego needs it. All right, Patrick, tell us what you got going on. Pixels, maybe something? What do you got going?
Pixels, the Phyllis Club, two amazing shows you can listen to if you go to frenchspin.com with very different types of topics. Yeah. I'll let you find out what they are.
Yes, one of them is political, one of them is not. I'll let you guess which one is not. not Patrick on Twitter, of course, so follow him there. Terpster is at @_T. Terpster, anything? I guess we're just waiting for a baby to be born at your house.
Yeah, so. That's my next project at the moment. Yeah. So I'm working hard on, I need to cook my wife dinner in a bit.
Yeah.
So that's going to be my job.
Good.
And after that, I need to just try and see if I can sneak in some Hearthstone games whilst, like, you know, giving her a back rub with one hand.
That's a good idea.
Like that. You know, I can just, I won't dive into details, Scott, but I feel like one-handed gaming is something I've prepared my whole life for.
Yeah.
So I should be fine.
Yeah. By the way, in chat room, I wanted to clear something up. God Sengo says you have to do Suramar to get to Argus. You do not. That is incorrect. You do not have to do Suramar or any of that rep grind. It's gone now. You don't have to do it. I mean, it's not gone. You can do it if you want to do it.
But hit 110, you can go to Argus.
Yeah, you just go to Argus. I've done it, and I can tell you why. I took a 110 there that hasn't set foot in Suramar, and it was fine. So
it's the best time to come back. If you stop playing after 7-1 or 7 or whenever, come back.
Yeah.
Just if you got a 110, you can jump right in. And if you don't, then you're just going to take a few hours to level up and then jump right in.
All those drug-addicted losers in Suramar can work out their own crap now. It's fine.
Exactly.
That's going to do it. It's, of course, I think I already said it. It's @_T, not Patrick. I'm at Scott Johnson on Twitter. There's a lot happening, so keep your eyes on the prize. Been playing a lot of games in the afternoons, doing a little segment called Frog Pants Plays, doing it at 4 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time, Monday through Thursday. So if you're around during that time during the week, you can watch me play games, Blizzard and otherwise. That's going to do it. More shows like this at frogpants.com. Go to theinstance.net for anything to do with this show. And if you're looking for a good time, I don't know what I'm saying.
Do not finish that sentence.
No, I should probably stop there. There was something I was going to say, though. What was it? It was something good.
Oh.
It was, I don't remember what it was. But whatever it was, I'm sure it'll come up later. We'll be back with another show coming up soon, so stay tuned for that. And
ooh, 500.
Yeah, 500. I don't know what we're doing. 500. I have no idea. Wow. What are we going to do? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll talk off air. We'll figure it out. Maybe we don't do anything. I mean, what's a number? It's just a number. Maybe we need to squish. The show's now back down to episode 80.
We're doing 500. It's going to go big.
All right. We'll see how it goes. Thank you all for listening. For me, for Patrick, and for Terpster. We'll see you next time. Break their bones. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.